Father Leo Patelinghag is a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. He is the director of pastoral field education at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And Father Leo is the founder of the Grace Before Meals movement. And Father Leo Patelinghag is my guest this morning from his office in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's really my pleasure.
We're going to be talking about your Grace Before Meals movement. But before we do, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you come from? Maybe something briefly about your call to the priesthood and about your work at Mount St. Mary's.
Sure. Yeah, my home is actually in the Philippines. That's where I was born, but I moved to Baltimore, Maryland when I was 2 years old. And so, for all intents and purposes, even though I was raised in a very Philippine traditional home, I'm definitely an American.
Mm-hmm.
I studied, in the local Catholic schools in the area. Then I studied journalism and political science before I entered the seminary. And my seminary was done in Washington, D.C., and then got my degree and licentiate in Mariology, to study the Blessed Virgin Mary, from the Marian Pontifical Institute in Rome. Had a couple parish assignments in the Archdiocese of Baltimore before I was invited to come and serve as the Director of Pastoral Formation and Field Education here at Mount St. Mary's Seminary. So it's been a real full life. And I'm not yet 40, but I'll be close.
Well, you have many, many years ahead of you, guys.
I hope so.
Well, let's talk about the Grace Before Meals movement. What is it, and how did it get started?
It really is nothing new, and that's why a lot of times people will want to call it a ministry or an apostolic activity. But really, it's just me trying to stir the pot, if you can forgive the puns with the cooking and all of that stuff. But it really is just a movement to strengthen family relationships around something as basic but unfortunately forgotten as a regular family meal. It all started really as a joke many years ago, actually in 2001, when I was supposed to go to France with a couple other priests on a pilgrimage to Lourdes. But after September the 11th, it happened really around that time, all the flights were canceled. So instead, we went on a little retreat on ourselves, and I cooked comfort food for us because we really had a difficult time afterwards with all of the aftermath of September the 11th. Mm-hmm. So a priest thought that this would be great to videotape this, to show the connections between food and faith, because that's really what we needed, just something very comforting. And honestly, I thought it was the silliest idea I ever heard. and it just kind of grew and grew and grew to the point where, just to keep them quiet, I said, fine, we'll call it Grace Before Meals, but I was not serious about it. And then one day in my new parish assignment, which was in Westminster, a man comes into the sacristy just to meet me. I was the new priest assigned there. And he introduces himself, coming to church regularly because his son had autism. He was kind of looking for meaning in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out what he did for a living, and he produced TV shows and commercials for Comcast. And the priest, the other priest that was in the sacristy with me, who was also in on the joke, he said, well, have I got an idea for you? And I'm thinking, oh, gosh. And I didn't think anyone took it seriously, but he obviously did. He filmed a trailer, put it on the web for possible sponsors, and it just took off from there. I had no idea that people would actually think that this was interesting in any way.
So it started would you call it a cooking show?
Yeah, and really it wasn't even a cooking show. It was just, as a parish priest, we get invited to families' homes all the time.
Right.
Just because it's basically code word for I want to talk to the priest about something.
Right.
And, what I would do is I'd show up like 45 minutes earlier, and that would just completely throw their schedule off. But I wouldn't do it to be rude. I wanted to do it so I can get in and help with the process, because I enjoy cooking. And when they saw that I wasn't being just an invited guest, but I was part of their family. You don't call a priest father for nothing. I wanted to be part of their families. I'd help with the cooking, and what happened was that families would just come into the kitchen, and we would cook and we would talk. All guards were thrown aside, and we just became a family. And in doing this, I realized how seriously the family meal is. I started to understand the social implications, and then I delve into the theological dimensions also, I work with CASA, the Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse, to promote Family Day. And they have a very impressive study that if you want to decrease teen suicide, teen pregnancy, the risk of teen addictions, plus increase a teenager's SAT scores, the number one factor is a regular family meal.
Mm-hmm.
And in this fast food, fast-paced mentality, we're losing something very important, which is why I think Jesus confirms God's commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day, because something happens on the Sabbath day. We, as his family, we get fed by him.
So from this idea of the program on local cable, then it became a web-based movement, would you say?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's unfortunately not on the official TV shows as a series yet. I've done a tremendous amount of TV appearances.
Right.
But as far as the show itself, it's a web-based movement. So when we put this web information out, again, it was for official sponsors to look at to show how serious and how talented the production company was,
right.
And it's supposed to somehow feature me as somebody who could host this thing.
Right.
It hit the Catholic blog system. People started logging onto it and wanting to find out more. So we started to send out these weekly messages to people to generate responses. People have to sign up for it, but it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Every Wednesday I send out a weekly message, food for thought, food for body, food for the soul, a bite-sizable theological essay on anything, really, and then a recipe you can try as a family, and then a prayer that you can say. And we usually send it out midweek, which is a good time because, you know, after Mass, what do you do to keep your faith going? Although we have regular daily Mass, not everyone can get a chance to do it. So this is just a gentle reminder that God is with you throughout the week. Then it turned into a book. And the book is now in its second edition of printing. Whenever I do conferences and presentations at parishes or diocesan events, I'm so surprised that people just, again, eat this up. You know, they just take it and they love it because the book is in the same vein, theological reflections, a recipe, and then in this book you have questions that families can kind of engage in conversation. And then some scripture passages and prayer. It's more than a cookbook. It's called Recipes for Family Life.
Hmm.
And I just finished writing the second book called Spicing Up Married Life, which is for couples to kind of strengthen their relationship around a little dinner date that they can have just with each other. And then our ultimate goal is going to be the TV show. And right now we are producing web shows, which are about, 5 to 10 minutes with very simple recipes. I interview some fun people, including seminarians here at the Mount and just family, some of my family members. And what's really been great is that people have picked up on this. We just won the People's Choice Awards for the best web shows in the food and drink category.
Wow, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's been really an exciting turn of events.
So when visitors come to your website, they can see the videos, you have podcasts, you have recipes and links to information about how important it is for families to have this family meal together.
Yeah, and then of course if you subscribe to it, and that's what I really encourage your listeners to do, it's a free weekly newsletter that comes out. That's where the meat and the substance come into play. And the reason why we don't just put that on the website is because we want people to freely choose to look at this information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the website has a lot of general information, some fun pictures, and then the web shows themselves. But if they really want to get the meat and substance of it all, they just got to let me know and just return a reply, send me their information so I can send them this weekly newsletter. And right now we're into the thousands. People are, from around the world are looking at this, and they're really finding that this is helping them just to, first of all, be reminded of the gift that food is for us, to be reminded of the responsibility we have in what we put into our systems. And then it's just a gentle reminder about why a regular family meal is so important. And it's hard for families in this busy day and age, but it doesn't mean that we have to get into that busyness all the time, because food is one of those gifts that God gives to us that says, you know, we're a gift to one another when we make ourselves present around that dinner table.
Very, very well put. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and we're talking to Father Leo Padelinghag, who is a teacher at Mount St. Mary Seminary in Emmitsburg, the director of pastoral field education, and also the founder of the Grace Before Meals movement, and author of a couple of books, semi-pseudo-cookbooks. Do you have a favorite recipe, Father?
You know, the one that's in my mouth is the one that I like. But what one thing fun about this book is that there's only 24 chapters, so I'm trying to encourage families, if they could maybe celebrate two special meals a month, why do we as a nation have to wait until the last Thursday of November to celebrate a big holiday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not necessary. When God gives us every Sunday is a day of rest where we can really come together as a family. Now, it sounds traditional, but there's nothing wrong with that, because we, in fact, hunger for those moments when our families and our friends and just our community can come together, and there's no better way to do it than with food.
Mm.
So we take events throughout the year. Some are liturgical events. Some of them are just calendar civil celebrations, and some are even moments in the life of a family, like winning or losing a game and breaking up with someone. You know, how does a mom and dad respond to a young person who has a broken heart for the first time? Well, this book kind of gives you an essay on how to look at this, maybe some questions that we can engage to get our families talking about these things. And then here's a meal. So, for example, in the broken heart experience, which I invite families to cook a comfort stuffed pepper for that young crush.
Sounds like chicken soup and appetizer and main course for the soul kind of a deal.
You know, absolutely. I think we have to recognize that hunger isn't just in our bellies.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our hearts. It's in our minds. I think young people, especially now in this age of new evangelization, which this movement is all about, it's the new evangelization, it's trying to address what people are hungering for. And theologically, this is a very serious thing. Now, on the surface level, it looks like a priest, entertainer, it looks like a shtick. Believe me, I know what people might think about it at start. But then you look at Jesus' message, and you can't tell me that he doesn't take food seriously. From the fact that he was born in the manger, which means mangiare, to eat, to the first miracle of water into wine, to obviously all the moments when he invited himself into sinners' homes to eat with them, to the Last Supper, to revealing himself, to the breaking of the bread. I mean, even his last words before he died was, "I thirst." We realize that also Jesus is hungering. And what is he hungering for? He's hungering for a holy communion with us. And so, you know, it might look like a shtick, but when you scratch the surface, you delve into how God takes feeding his children very seriously, because that's, in fact, what he promised heaven to be, an eternal banquet.
Very, very well put. Father, what is the website?
The website is simply gracebeforemeals.com, gracebeforemeals.com.
And our listeners are invited to go there to check out all the great information that's there, and then sign up for the free weekly newsletter.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I'm at various places in the country. I was just in Hawaii in December. I know I'm suffering, but it really was hard work to go all the way out there and not be on vacation.
Sure.
It was just a great year of a lot of travel from Australia to Japan, parts of Canada, all across the U.S. And parishes are loving this because it brings the whole parish together when I do these missions, because we have a lot of fun. We feed them at the end, and they really do learn something where people say, "I never knew that much about our Mass and about the Eucharist and about the saints and the Blessed Mother." And all of these things are simply an extension of God teaching his people.
And I hear you're going to be doing one of those missions in our diocese.
I am. I guess it's near Ocean City. I'm not sure exactly what the exact place is. It might be called Ocean Pines.
Yes, it's Ocean Pines or Berlin. It's just west of Ocean City, Maryland, St.
Okay.
John Newman Parish. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to going there. I know it's a very busy population, and this movement really is about families and about relationships. So the pastors are usually surprised when I show up, and at the mission nights, it's not just, you know, the seniors who come out, but it's young families, and they're bringing their teenage kids, because I actually do a little karate demonstration as well.
You do the martial arts, too.
I do. I mean, my background is so weird that somehow people find it kind of interesting, and I use it. I really do try to put everything that God has given to me, including my brokenness, my experiences in life, I put them in God's hands. And like he did with the 6 fish sandwiches, he makes a miracle and he kind of converts it into something useful to feed people. So that's what I try to do.
So you'll be in St. John Newman Parish in Ocean Pines, March the 21st through the 24th for Lenten Mission. And if our listeners would like to attend that, they could probably call St. John's and get more details.
Yeah, and I think that the webmaster for our website has a link on it on Grace Before Meals. .com, and so people can kind of find out what my events are. Last year was extremely busy, and I just had to kind of cut back. So even though I'm probably out about 2 to 3 times a month, that's a lot less from what it was last year with just the appearances and the show and then the TV appearances. It's been something else.
So the website is gracebeforemeals.com. Father Leo Padalinghug, thanks so much for spending time with us this morning on Catholic Forum.
My pleasure. God bless you all.